Comedian Jack Benny from TV's Golden Age had a skit which illustrated how we place money and possessions ahead of everything in our lives. He's walking down the street when suddenly he's accosted by a robber who says, "Your money or your life?" There's a long pause. Jack does nothing. The robber impatiently queried, "Well?" Jack replied, don't rush me, I'm thinking about it." Of all the sayings and teachings and stories of Jesus, the ones that make us most uncomfortable, the ones that make us want to turn off our hearts and minds the quickest and stare out the window of the church or think of anything else, are these sayings and teachings and stories that deal with money and our possessions. Most of us would rather that Jesus stick with spiritual matters and leave matters material to us. We can handle it. We'd much prefer Jesus to teach us something about the infinite love of God, instruct us on our personal and communal prayer, offer us forgiveness for our sins and a second chance in life, find those of us who are lost, bring healing to those who are suffering, welcome the little children into God's embrace, and promise that our deaths are not our end after all. And while Jesus says and speaks to and does all these things, he's also consistent and persistent in challenging us about our material lives. A classmate of mine in seminary liked to say that these teachings and sayings about money and possessions are the stories that pinch the toes. The shoe fits, but it's awfully uncomfortable to walk in. It may surprise you to know, as it did me the first time I heard it, that two-thirds of the teaching of Jesus in all the four Gospels touch on money and possessions. Jesus has words about our material lives. And so it doesn't take a genius or a biblical scholar to come to the right conclusions that money and possessions and the material life are spiritual issues for Jesus. And they're spiritual for you and me as we try to live the Christian life. So we need to pay careful attention when Jesus teaches on these issues, because apparently they are a matter of life and death. The gospel story Jesus tells about the man who had such an abundance, who had such wealth that he decided to tear down his current barns to build bigger barns to store all his stuff so he could sit back, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. And it's one of the stories about our material lives. Jesus' story strikes at the very heart of our desire to measure who we are and what we're about by what we have, and this deep desire to have more. Mistaken focus on our material well-being is certainly an important part of Jesus' teaching, because he knows that this reduces our concern and love for our families, because he knows that it reduces our time to love and care for our friends and neighbors, and because he knows that it makes us set aside our time for God. This is the spiritual matter behind Jesus' teaching and on holding our possessions lightly. This is the spiritual matter on Jesus' desire for us to have a wider vision of the purpose and focus of our lives. And what strikes me most then about this particular parable of Jesus on material possessions and provides some clue as to the different life that Jesus is calling us to live is not the pattern of accumulation as the goal in life. That's pretty obvious, pretty direct. But what strikes me about this parable is what's missing in the story. The rich man has no family. There's not a single mention of anyone in his family but him. No one to share his good fortune. No one in his family for him to care for. No one at home, only him. And the second thing that's missing is that there's no mention of anyone else. No other neighbor who's knocking it out of the park with his wealth. No neighbors in need who could benefit from his expanding wealth. No one outside himself to think of or to care for. And finally, until the very end of the story, when God shows up demanding the man's life this very night, there's no mention of God. No word of thanks, no song of thanksgiving, no prayer asking God to show him what he might do with his expanding wealth. Only him, himself. The rich man's focus on having and accumulating had become his entire life, and at his death, there was nothing left of him in this world or the next. The greatest poverty of our times, especially in the United States, is not the disease that we face or meeting the basic needs of life. It's loneliness in every generation. Loneliness is the greatest poverty of our time, and this rich man was surely lonely. Jesus warns us against the dangers of money and material possessions, not because he has something against the physical gifts of life. After all, God created all that is and announced that it was very good. But because he understands that one's life does not consist of possessions, but in the life that is lived richly toward God and toward others. And when we don't live richly toward God and others, when we don't acknowledge that all the gifts of life have been given to us by God, when we don't thank God and thank others for who we are and what we are becoming, and when we don't seek to share of our abundance, then we will not only be lonely, but our lives will be deadened, both physically and spiritually. Now, if any of you are still with me after having our toes pinched by Jesus, remember that Jesus speaks to the issues of money and material things because he loves us, and he wants us to draw us into a life that's truly life. Remember, before Jesus begins this parable, he tells the young man seeking justice over the family inheritance that he hasn't come to be a judge, but to show us a way to a life that is far richer than any life we can accumulate. Jesus is willing to give of his all on the cross as an ultimate sign of God's love for us, and nothing other than our self-centeredness and our own mistaken focus on the things of this life can keep us from this saving love and the life that's lived richly toward God and others. And so I invite you to join me in following in Jesus' way to a life that's truly life. First, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for all that he's given you in your life. Count your blessings, both spiritual and physical. Write them down to give you that proper perspective, if that helps. Counting our blessings every day is an antidote to seeking after material goods to give us a sense of worth. And having and accumulating can become merely a pastime in our life and something we hold lightly. Second, place persons over possessions. Make your second focus the good of your family and your friends and your neighbors. Make a special effort each day to reach out to someone. Reach out to share the joys and sorrows and the adventures of this life. Make a call. Go see someone. Write an email. Write a letter, God forbid. Share your life with others and share in theirs. And finally, give to others. Be generous with the physical and spiritual blessings God has given you. Look at what you're giving away now and expand it in some meaningful way. God gave you all of it in the first place, and there's much more from where that comes from because God is generous. Jesus speaks many hard words on the dangers of money and possessions to give us soft hearts and to keep us focused on the true purposes of our lives, to keep our focus on loving God and loving others. So live richly toward God and others today and every day. And God will guide us all along a path of life that is truly life, and our true riches will become far more than we can ask or imagine. Amen.